Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Got a couple things on tap for you today. A little shorter podcast than usual. Got banged up last week, went down, busted up my wrist, and kind of fell behind on a few work projects. So anyways, apologize for the short podcast this time, but I'll definitely have some good interviews and stuff lined up for you guys here in the near future. So keep an eye out for those. But anyways, in this podcast, got a couple things I want to talk about. First up, I'm going to talk about kind of timing your nutrition for those of you that work out in the morning. And I'm also going to talk about, in a training tip, some grip strength strategies. Some, you know, what do we need as mountain bikers for grip strength? When is a good time to, you know, emphasize grip? You know, what is what's some good ways to do that? So just some grip training for mountain biking advice. So anyways, hope you guys enjoy it, and let's get to it. Hey everybody, for this podcast nutrition tip, I wanted to go over some advice for those of you that train first thing in the morning. I've been getting a bunch of questions on this lately, and I think as summer gets here and we're getting out more in the afternoon and spending the evenings out riding, more and more of us are probably looking to get up early and get our workout in first thing so we don't have to worry about it later on in the day. So, you know, personally, that's what I do. So that's why I can definitely relate to this dilemma. So the problem is, how do you kind of time out all of your nutrients and nutrition, and you know what counts as a meal and what doesn't count as a meal? And so, you know, basically our basic rules of nutrition, we want to try to eat a meal every 2 to 3 hours. And we also want to make sure that with our workout that we're getting a post-workout meal in there. But that post-workout meal doesn't count necessarily as a meal. And so that's kind of where the confusion comes in, because there's a lot kind of going on there in a real short amount of time. And so what you want to do, my basic approach to this is to wake up and put together, like, make some sort of, I call it the you know, MTB super shake. I just did a repost on my blog at bikejames.com with the recipe that I use on it. And it's just basically a protein shake recipe that I use. It's mostly, you know, fruit and some orange juice and vanilla whey protein and some vanilla flavored or lemon flavored fish oil. You know, pretty simple. And for me, it sits light on the stomach, and I'm able to drink that about 15 minutes before, you know, I leave to go start, you know, to train, and give it a little bit to settle on the stomach. And then I'm able to hit the gym and get my workout in. And then after my workout, I'm going to get my post-workout drink in. And so this is where I'm going to take like my ProGrade workout, or you can mix up a cup of orange juice and a half scoop of vanilla whey protein. But you're basically looking, this is where you're looking for that 2-to-1 ratio of simple carbs to fast-acting protein. So you're looking for about 30 grams of carbs, about 15 grams of protein, somewhere in that range for that post-workout drink. So you want to have that after your workout. And then within 2 hours after that, you want to eat again. You want to have another regular meal. And so, you know, again, that post-workout meal doesn't count as a meal. And so you can't just go another, you know, 3-4 hours after that without eating. You want to try to get, you know, stick within that 3 to 4 hours from when you first ate. And so that usually means eating about, you know, within that first hour or two after finishing your workout. And so again, this would be another regular meal. You would want this to fit into our basic, you know, rules of nutrition. We want lean protein, we want a fruit and or vegetable, we want to avoid refined carbs, and we want to avoid calorie containing beverages. So that's, you know, our basic rules of nutrition. But that's basically how you want to lay it down to get the most out of your nutrition for those of you that work out in the morning. Now, you know, a couple bonus things that you can throw in there. You know, definitely want to start hydrating as quickly as possible. So, you know, when you wake up, start drinking water and get yourself hydrated. Just realize that you have less time to get your body prepared than you do if you work out later on in the day. And so, you know, later on in the day, you've had a chance to kind of, you know, eat a couple times and get your fuel stores back up and, you know, rehydrate. So you got to remember, you're waking up from, you know, several hours of not eating, not drinking, and your body's actually pretty active while you sleep. It's not resting, you know, your brain's resting, but your body's actually not, as far as, you know, that's when it's doing its rebuilding and a lot of its recovery and regeneration. And so when you wake up the next morning, you're low on all that stuff. So that's why you want to make sure that you eat something before you train. Don't go to the gym and try to train without eating, because you're not going to have as high quality a workout as you could. So now, if you have problems, just my last little my little piece of advice here, if you have problems with a regular, like, you know, protein shake, I mean, you can experiment and see what sits well on your stomach. Like, that's part of, you know, I get these questions all the time, like, what should I eat before I train, or what should I eat before I race? And the problem is it's very individual. Like, what is going to sit well on one person's stomach and not bother them while they race or train isn't necessarily going to do the same thing for another person. So, you know, you have to experiment a little. So if this, you know, if the super shake recipe that I have on my site, it doesn't work, then, you know, you can experiment a little and see if you can find something that does. And if not, at the very least, you want to have a serving of your post-workout drink, you know, before you work out. So you should be able to train with something that light on your stomach. And so you want to have something, some sort of fuel in your system when you go into that workout. And so, you know, you're going to want to have another serving after you're done working out, and then, you know, get a meal in as quickly as you can after that as well. So, you know, when you work out first thing in the morning, you just kind of got to be on it a little bit as far as, you know, getting things in you know, as far as your nutrition and stuff goes, and how to look at it and all that. But so anyways, but hopefully this helps you guys out, those of you that are training in the morning. And again, all these, you know, nutrition tips, I mean, this stuff applies to any time you work out. You know, you want to go in hydrated, you want to go in fueled, you want to make sure that you've had something to eat within the, you know, an hour or two of having worked out. You want to make sure that you get some sort of good post-workout drink in, and you want to make sure that you eat another regular meal within 2 hours after working out. So all these rules apply, they're the same. It's just kind of, you know, like I said, just how do you apply it to the specifics of waking up and going directly to your workout. So anyways, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this nutrition tip. If you guys got any questions or comments on this, you can visit me at bikejames.com and post them there, and I'll be happy to get to them. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Hey guys, for this podcast training tip, I wanted to go over some grip training advice. Grip training for mountain biking is always a popular subject. A lot of people out there have problems with arm pump and hand fatigue and sore fingers, and also with wrist kind of, and, you know, wrist pain or inflamed wrists and issues like that. And so, you know, just the grip thing is definitely an important thing for mountain biking. And so I did a blog post with a video on some different exercises that I use in the facility that, you know, maybe you hadn't seen before, but I found to be pretty helpful. And it actually struck up a conversation in the comments about, you know, when do we need to really worry about grip training? You know, when is grip really a weakness? And so what I wanted to do is kind of go over what we're looking for as mountain bikers with grip training, and how we can kind of use that to help us formulate a better training plan. So you know, grip strength should really, realistically, it should only be an issue for prolonged braking and rough trail sections. You know, otherwise, it's probably more of a technique issue. And this was the first question that came up, was, you know, one of my good buddies, Gene Hamilton, who does the Better Ride Skills Camps. I've had quite a few of my people who do my program go through his camps, and so we get some, like, kind of cross dialogue going on between, you know, stuff that I'm talking about on my blog and my program and what Gene's doing with his stuff, which is great. And what they brought up was that, you know, Gene rightly points out that you want to have all of your weight, for the most part, on your pedals with only, like, very light pressure on the handlebars. Like, you don't want weight on your handlebars. And so for a lot of riders who lean into the handlebars, what they're experiencing isn't really a grip strength issue, it's really a technique issue, which is way too much pressure on the handlebars, or they just have this death grip on the handlebars and they're just grabbing the handlebars as tight as they can at all times. And so again, that's a technique issue. It should only be during, you know, like I said, you know, really rough trail sections, or or, you know, trail sections where there's a lot of braking going on. And, you know, that's where you start to get arm pump and the hand fatigue because, you know, the trail is trying to rip the handlebars out of your hands. And while you still want your weight on your pedals and you don't want to be leaning into and putting weight on your handlebars, you still have to hang on to the handlebars, you know, relatively tighter than you do when you're just cruising down a smooth piece of single track. So if you're getting hand pump and have grip issues on just a normal trail ride, then that's more of a technique issue. So if that's not the problem though, and you know, you do need to work on grip strength, and most of the time grip strength, it should be addressed as part of an overall program. I mean, you should be doing exercises like deadlifts and chin-ups and rows and, you know, kettlebell swings are also a great grip training exercise. But, you know, it should kind of be a byproduct of an overall program more than something that you feel you have to spend a ton of time on by itself. Like, you realistically, you want to train the grip as part of the whole unit, not on its own. You don't want to isolate it. You know, the grip has been called a window to the core by Greg Cook and you know, a bunch of guys who are a lot smarter than I am. And so, you know, you want to look at the grip strength as a reflection of your strength and movement from the core out. And it just kind of shows up. All of that adds up to show up at the grip. And so, you know, just trying to train the grip by itself doesn't necessarily work. And some of the times that you want to be thinking about training the grip, like when do we want to try to emphasize it in a program, is, you know, for the most part, you know, in my opinion, I usually work it when somebody has a real bad asymmetry. Like, you want to have a symmetrical grip. And so if you find that your, you know, one hand's grip is significantly weaker than the other, that's also a reflection of some core strength imbalance. Again, remember that whole the grip is a window to the core thing. And so you want to have a symmetrical grip. So if you find that one hand is significantly weaker than the other, then you want to address that with some specific strategies. And, you know, also like rehabbing an injury, but that kind of goes to symmetry. Like, usually if you have like a broken hand or you've busted up a shoulder or something that has one arm or hand out of commission for a while, there's going to be an asymmetry there when it gets back. So you want to make sure that you rehab that and get it done. And then also for variety, you know, it's good to kind of throw some grip training stuff in for variety every once in a while, you know, just to mix things up. It's a good way to do a lot of good coaches recommend doing what's called do the same but different. So where you aren't just making wholesale changes to your exercises, you're finding just different varieties, different ways to create some variety with the same exercises. And so some grip training strategies are a good way to do that as well, just kind of create some variety in your program. And so for my, from my experience, one of the best grip training exercises and tools that I've found are bottoms up kettlebell exercises. Now, what you got to do is you got to look at what do we need as mountain bikers for grip strength. And a lot of your usual grip strength strategies revolve around building wrist strength. And so that's where things like wrist curls and wrist extensions and that gyro ball that gets going real, you know, the faster you move it, the more it goes. And, you know, it's not that there's nothing to be gained from using those, but if you look at what you're doing on your bike, which is really you want wrist stability, you want your wrist strong and stable, and you're looking for good pinch grip strength from the fingers. And so that's a different specific strength than a movement-based thing. So you don't want wrist strength, you want wrist stability, and you want pinch grip strength. So the bottoms-up kettlebell exercises are basically where you hold a kettlebell upside down. So instead of the ball of the kettlebell resting against your forearm, you would have the ball of the kettlebell facing straight up to the ceiling, and you have to use your grip and crush the handle of the kettlebell in order to hold the kettlebell in place. And so that meets both of our criteria right there. We're working on pinch grip strength and we're working on wrist stability, because you have to maintain a stable wrist in order to keep that kettlebell strong in the bottoms up position. So I demonstrated a couple different bottoms up kettlebell exercises in that video. And so again, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, make sure you go to bikejames.com and watch that video, and also demonstrate a couple other things as well. But the bottoms up stuff is great, and you can use it for cleans, you can use it for shoulder presses, you can use it for squats, and you know, it's just a good overall grip training tool. So another reason that kettlebells are a pretty valuable addition to your training arsenal as a mountain biker. So anyway, you know, that's kind of my thoughts on grip training and why I usually, you know, I don't really use a lot. I don't have wrist rollers. I don't do a lot of the traditional grip strength training stuff because, again, it's usually addressed with just a good overall program. And then when I need to really kind of highlight it, I'll switch to some bottoms up kettlebell exercises, in order. So again, that also meets our criteria to train the grip as part of the whole and not on its own, because you're not just training the grip by itself. You're training the grip while you're creating movement around that stronger grip. So another reason it's really good. So that's, like I said, just my thoughts and some tips on grip strength and what we're looking for as mountain bikers, and some ways for you to train it to address it if you need to. So hopefully you guys have found this tip to be helpful, and I'll talk to you guys in the next one. All right, guys, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. I want to say thanks for taking the time to check this out. As always, if you got any questions or comments about anything that you heard on this podcast, be sure to check me out on the web at bikejames.com. You can find me there. You can also find me at my new membership site at mountainbikeworkouts.com, where I'm posting new workout of the week. You got access to me through the forum. You got a monthly Q&A teleseminar. Just a lot of great stuff going on there. So definitely be sure to check that one out as well. So anyways, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and bikejames.com, and I will talk to you guys in the next podcast.